Welcome to a KIDE special program, Public Law 280, an interview with Vice Chancellor Carol Goldberg of the University of California, Los Angeles. In light of the recent suspension of the Memorandum of Understanding between the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department and the Hoopa Valley Tribe, which authorized the cross-deputization of the Hoopa Tribal Police to be authorized as law enforcement officers within Humboldt County, we researched Public Law 280 in California, seeking insights of what this all means. We found an article written in 2007 by then Professor Carol Goldberg titled, State Jurisdiction Overlooked Problem in Criminal Justice Debate. We have posted access to this article on our website, the website location to be given at the end of this interview. I'm speaking with Carol Goldberg, Vice Chancellor of Academic Personnel at the University of California, Los Angeles, and Professor of Law. Welcome, Chancellor Goldberg. This is a timely interview as we are recently informed by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Offices that they are suspending the Memorandum of Understanding with the Hoopa Valley Tribe and revoking the authority of the Hoopa Tribal Police as cross-deputized law enforcement officers in Humboldt County. I was in an earlier discussion about the status of our tribal police when a question came up about Public Law 280 and the responsibilities of the county sheriff's office to Hoopa Valley under Public Law 280. I did an internet search and found the article you wrote in 2007 that addressed overlooked problems in criminal justice matters under Public Law 280. This prompted this call to you. Welcome to KIDE. Let me start out with this first premise. Due to the low number of tribal police officers in Hoopa Valley and a confusing status of law enforcement, the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office under Public Law 280 has stepped forward and in essence they said, we will take over law enforcement in Hoopa Valley. What insights can you give us about any ways we can negotiate terms with Humboldt County?
I'm very interested in this problem. As you may know, in 2011, I was given the honor of being one of President Obama's appointees to the Indian Law and Order Commission, a national commission with representatives from the executive and legislative branches of the U.S. government that was charged with investigating and making recommendations for the improvement of criminal justice in Indian country. And this commission unanimously, with both Republican and Democratic appointees, took the position that local tribally controlled law enforcement and criminal justice was a preferable means of advancing safety and justice for tribal communities. Different members of this commission came to that conclusion from different starting points. Some were of the view that local control in general is a good thing, and local control in this context meant tribal control. Other members of the commission started from the position that tribal sovereignty was an important value to be recognized by the U.S. government, and that tribal control was an appropriate expression of tribal sovereignty. But whatever the starting points, the common conclusion of all of the nine commissioners was that it would be best if tribes wanted it for tribes to be in control of law enforcement and criminal justice in tribal communities. And one of the big reasons that I support tribal control is that it is documented in considerable research that when communities view their criminal justice system as legitimate, and by that I mean entitled to be exercising authority in their community, they are much more likely to cooperate with the criminal justice system, that is, to report or to serve as witnesses if investigations occur. And they're much more likely to abide by the law if they view the system of justice enforced in their community as a legitimate one. In the case of Indian country, it is a great concern that Public Law 280 introduced state law enforcement and criminal justice without the active consent of the tribes, which is a sign that it was not accepted and not viewed as legitimate. And the fact that Public Law 280 was imposed without the consent of the tribes is a continuing issue now that it's even more than 50 years since the passage of that law. So anything, in my view, that brings criminal justice and law enforcement closer to tribal control is likely to be more successful in achieving both community safety and community justice. And it sounds like the development you're describing is actually taking those functions further away from the tribe, and that would be a matter of concern based on the work that I've done and the work of the Indian Law and Order Commission.
When we started our tribal law enforcement, it was a tribal security measure. This turned into a tribal police force with the cross-deputization with Humboldt County Sheriff's offices. Now it looks like we are reverting back to a tribal security office. It's puzzling to me how this all came about. For several years, the tribal police functioned well enough, but I have noticed over the years we keep losing officers, maybe an officer or two, to outside law enforcement services due to better pay and better retirement benefits. I have a sense that when we're given something that is a critical function of society, whether it to be to maintain law enforcement, to provide education, or to maintain community health, there must be an amount of financial support to sustain it. Because it's more than just giving people a title and a badge. You have to have the ability to function. It is a quandary we have fallen into where, yes, we want to maintain our sovereign rights and our sovereign abilities, but doing this in America is really difficult, especially when you don't have the local economy to support it.
Well, this takes us back to Public Law 280, because another matter documented by the Indian Law and Order Commission is that tribes in states where Public Law 280 operates have not received appropriate amounts of federal support for their law enforcement and criminal justice systems. There's a long story behind that. When Public Law 280 was first adopted, the assumption was that the states where it was going to apply would be states where there would ultimately be widespread termination of the tribes, and that Public Law 280 was just a first step along the path to broader termination. So there was never any expectation that the tribes in Public Law 280 jurisdictions would need financial support to maintain their own government institutions. Well, we know that since the 1950s, when Public Law 280 was adopted, the policy of termination has been repudiated. So Public Law 280 did not serve as the first step towards broader termination. But Public Law 280 was never actually repealed. So it is still in operation. And the upshot is that the tribes that are in Public Law 280 jurisdictions are not receiving funding from the Department of the Interior to support their policing and courts the way other tribes receive that funding. And I know there's been litigation that's been brought by the Los Coyotes tribe in Southern California to try to challenge that decision by the Department of the Interior, but that litigation to date has not been successful. And our Indian Law and Order Commission did recommend very strongly that the Department of the Interior and the federal government as a whole provide funding for policing and courts in Public Law 280 jurisdictions, just as they do for other tribes elsewhere in the country. So part of the problem for a tribe like Hupa is that they've never received allocations of funds from the Department of the Interior to support the policing and court functions that they need for their community. That needs to be fixed at the federal level. Cross-deputization agreements are a good thing in the meantime, but they're not a substitute for the funding support that the tribes themselves need. Now, there are other ways in which tribes have suffered, even with funding in places like Arizona. There have been issues where tribal police have not been able to receive the kinds of benefits that other non-tribal jurisdiction police receive, and so tribes were training their police only to lose them to non-tribal departments. So one of the things that happened in Arizona is that the state of Arizona passed a law allowing their tribal police to participate in the state retirement program for police generally. And that has been a big help there for tribes to retain their police officers. So that's another change that might be helpful in building and sustaining a HOOPA tribal police department. Another possibility that was created by the Tribal Law and Order Act of 2010 is that it did allow tribes in Public Law 280 states to ask the federal government to reassume criminal jurisdiction within their territory. The federal government doesn't have to agree, but at least the framework is established where the tribes can make these requests and the federal government could accept. If this does go forward and the federal government does assume responsibility over and above the tribe and the state, so there would be three jurisdictions with criminal jurisdiction, then the tribe might be able to make a better argument for federal funding to support the federal criminal jurisdiction. I don't necessarily support that because I think it's adding extra layers into a community and not necessarily a very responsive one, but it might be helpful from a funding perspective. The last option, which I think could be very helpful, is the possibility of retrocession of Public Law 280 jurisdiction. It is possible for the tribe, with the agreement of the state has to go along, to ask the federal government to basically undo the state jurisdiction under Public Law 280, which is referred to as retrocession. What this would do is it would put the tribe in a position to argue for federal funding for their law enforcement and court systems the same way non-public law 280 jurisdictions do in places like Arizona and New Mexico. And that is something that has been done in other public law 280 states. It's never been done by any of the tribes in California, but it has been quite successfully done in other public law 280 states.
Would that include all the tribes in the state, or can an individual tribe retrocede?
No, it's tribe by tribe.
That's a tempting option there. I think there is a lack of understanding of family culture and what's normal for our community for people looking at us from the outside. I think a local law enforcement made of tribal members who grew up here and understand life here are greatly appreciated by the tribal members.
Well, that's part of the reason why the Indian Law and Order Commission weighed in very heavily in favor of tribal control of policing and criminal justice.
Listening to what you're saying, it sounds like you're saying this is step one and this is step two and this is how we do it. But then I'm thinking about what people have mentioned and what people are worried about. It seems they want to have some sort of model of operation where they can watch over the county law enforcement to avoid any abuses.
Well, that kind of agreement has been made in some instances. Some tribes have made agreements like that. Typically, they have been associated with the tribe providing funds to the local government to support the law enforcement that's taking place on the reservation. And then part of the terms of that agreement are often that the tribe gets to periodically assess the quality of service that's being provided, and in certain circumstances even to recommend the replacement or shift of personnel. I'm not aware of this happening independent of a service agreement like that, but it certainly could be something that was negotiated with the local county. The other thing that the tribe can be doing in the meantime is working internally to build consensus around the kind of policing and criminal justice system that it would prefer for its community were retrocession to go forward. Because that's important. There has to be a good, solid base of agreement within the community about what that system should be doing, as you say, how it fits best with the culture and values of the community, so that when it is put into place, it really does attract the cooperation and support of the community.
Does the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department under Public Law 280 have the responsibility to protect the residents of the valley as opposed to maintaining law and order?
The Sheriff's Department has an obligation as a result of Public Law 280 to provide law enforcement services on an equal basis to the tribal community along with the rest of the community in Humboldt County. How that is carried out is a matter of policy within the county as a whole, subject to restrictions of state and federal law. I mean, there's all kinds of research out there about the types of policing that are most effective in tribal communities, and it would behoove the Sheriff's Department to pay attention to that kind of work in order to do its job well. But the fundamental policy decisions are going to be in the hands of the county if they're the ones supplying the law enforcement.
Going back to what you said about the responsibility to residents to be equal, what if they fail? What if they fail at law enforcement protection being equal as it is across the county? Does the tribe have a case against the county for unequal protection?
I wouldn't rule out the possibility that there would be a legal case, but there has been litigation brought on this basis in other parts of the country, most notably in Alaska. And these tend to be difficult cases to prove. So I don't want to hold out too much promise for the likely success of such a claim. But there are models out there for how litigation could be framed. Yes.
I guess that would cover it, unless there's another insight we haven't covered.
I think that, you know, I guess the only other thing I would say is that there has been attention paid in the state of California over the years to the possibility of tribal police achieving status as state peace officers, which would mean that they would be in a position to enforce state law even without a memorandum of understanding or deputization agreement with the county. There was nearly a bill passed some years ago to achieve this end, and there are other states, including Oregon, that are Public Law 280 states, where laws of this type are in effect. That's another strategy for empowering tribal police without having to establish an entire tribal court system if the tribe wants to think about a variety of options. But it would require the passage of state legislation. And there have been some issues over the years over liability as between counties and tribes over the activities of tribal police that have state peace officer status. Those would have to be resolved. But there are a variety of strategies that the tribe has available to it under circumstances such as those currently faced.
Would that take legislation through state Congress?
It would be, yes. It would be the California legislature that would have to pass that law because it involves peace officer status under state law.
That would be a whole menu of other things we'd have to have in place.
Correct.
Well, those are options, and I guess those are decisions we have to make as a community and as tribal members.
Exactly.
Well, I thank you for your time. This has been very insightful, and as I said in the beginning, it is very timely given our current situation.
It's been my privilege to work with the Hoopa Valley Tribe over the years, and I have a great deal of respect for the breakthroughs that the Hoopa Valley Tribe has made on behalf of other California tribes as well as tribes around the country. So I wish you well.
I thank you very much for your time. I have been speaking with Carol Goldberg, Vice Chancellor of Academic Personnel at the University of California, Los Angeles, and Professor of Law. This interview was recorded on September 28, 2015 at the KIDE Studios, Hoopa Tribal Radio, Hoopa, California. The Humboldt County Sheriff's Department is holding a public meeting on Tuesday, December the 6th at 6 o'clock p.m. at the American Legion Hall, Hoopa, California, to discuss their suspension of the Memorandum of Understanding with the Hoopa Valley Tribe and the revoking of law enforcement authorities of the Hoopa Tribal Police. KIDE will broadcast this session live. The article by Vice Chancellor Carol Goldberg, State Jurisdiction Overlooked Problem in Criminal Justice Debate, and this audio file can be found on our website at www.kidefm.org/downloads/local news/public-law-280. I'm Joseph Orozco reporting for KIDE Hoopa.